Thank you for joining us for Life and Taxes with tax attorney Andrew Foster of Harvell and Collins Attorneys at Law.
'Cause I'm the tax man.
Call in now with your tax questions at 800-818-2255 or locally at 247-7282 or 353-4674.
And Andrew joins us in the studio now. Hi, Andrew. How are you?
Good morning, Ben. Doing well.
And again, direct number 247-7282 if you want to get to us now. All right, and ask about your questions. So what else, what are we going to talk about today?
Well, Ben, we're going to do a little tax court Thursday today.
Oh, good.
So this will be a fun one.
Wield the gavel.
This is one where there's just, it's a simple case, but there are so many lessons that you know, our listeners can learn, you know, due to this taxpayer's, you know, aggressive attitude towards the tax court. I'll put it like that.
Okay.
And I think it's just really telling because all along the way, we can see where some mistakes by the taxpayer, you know, results in some bureaucratic holdup, I guess is the best way to put it.
Right. Uh-huh.
You know, and then ultimately you can't quite get what you want at the end is the best way for me to put it. So
okay.
Let's start here with Jeffrey Davis. And Jeffrey Davis, issue was fairly straightforward. Ben, most of the time, Social Security disability, workers' comp, gonna be non-taxable. But if you receive some workers' compensation benefits, sometimes that does make your Social Security disability benefits taxable.
Mm-hmm.
So in this particular case, when Mr. Davis received his 1099 from Social Security, it showed his $14,055 in workers' comp offsets is what they categorized it as.
Right.
So it would have turned these benefits that are normally not taxable into taxable benefits.
Okay.
So the problem
is that like an offset kind of like
basically if you get them both then they hit you. Okay. Is basically the best way for me to put it. So the problem here is that he actually had not received any workers' compensation benefits in 2014 and he actually had a letter from the Department of Labor stating that.
Mm-hmm.
Stating that he did not receive any workers' comp benefits.
Okay.
So what does he do? You know, we talk about this all the time. You're in a conundrum. You've got this 1099 that says you have taxable income.
Right.
So now you got to fill your return out. So he chooses to just go ahead and not report the Social Security disability benefits and then just literally attach the letter from the Department of Labor and explain that the reason I'm not including this IRS is because I didn't receive any workers' compensation benefits and this amount should not have been taxable.
Right.
So, you know, most of our listeners out there are thinking, that sounds pretty good.
Sounds reasonable.
That sounds extremely reasonable.
But it's the government. We're dealing with it.
that's a reasonable approach taken by Mr. Davis.
Mm-hmm.
You know what the problem is?
Mm-hmm.
Computers don't read attached statements.
Yes.
You
that's
know?
Right.
And this is what we talk about all the time when we talk about how when you get a 1099, the IRS gets a 1099.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem for Mr. Davis is that the computer, when it goes line by line, it says, it flags that and it says, wait a minute, his Social Security benefits were supposed to be taxable and he doesn't have anything on that line.
Right.
Here's your letter. Here's your CP2000.
Okay.
Auto-generated letter that says, IRS, we believe, or taxpayer, the service believes that you owe tax on this to the tune of $3,000.
Okay, one question.
Yep.
Before making judgment, a question from the bench is that typically in a 1099 dispute, you would go back to the one who issued the 1099. It's usually a contracting source or whatever that you've contracted with. But in this case, it's the Social Security Administration.
Yep.
They're issuing the 1099.
Yep.
So who do you go to?
Yeah, so that's a good question. So what could he have done? You know, I think that, and that's kind of our first lesson is how maybe he should have reported this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a couple things he could have done. Number one would have been to try to go back to Social Security and provide the Department of Labor record and say, by the way, can you reissue my 1099 and
to
make
a
it
person.
Non-taxable?
Talk to a person.
That's exactly right. Go to the Social Security office and try to work it out through them and say, you just checked the wrong box. You know, fix this for me so I can, you know, have my return be correct. The other thing he could have done was report the Social Security benefits as taxable and then later back them out and then offer the explanation.
Okay.
Now, what would this have done? This would have caused the computer to pick up and say, oh, yeah, they are taxable. It would have flagged that he would have pulled them out later.
Mm-hmm.
But that
what
mayor,
do you mean later? Where would you do that?
You would just have to pull them out as a deduction.
Oh, okay.
So you'd have to, you know, and then you'd attach a statement saying the reason I'm pulling this amount out is because it's truly not taxable.
That may get flagged to be seen by a person.
Yes. Okay. But again, the computer's not gonna say, no, that's wrong per se. It's just gonna say that you may or may not get audited.
Government by artificial intelligence.
There you go. So, but the reason when he did it like this, which was just to simply not report it and offer the explanation, we all know the computer cannot read. You know, it sees the zero there and just says the zero's wrong. You know, we need an explanation. So he gets his 1099. Sorry, he gets his CP2000, which is a computer generated audit letter. And he's probably thinking, this is easy. This is simple. All I got to do is just send in my Department of Labor, you know, letter.
Right.
So it literally on the CP2000 letter, it has a box saying, I agree I disagree. So he checks the disagree box. He sends in his Department of Labor letter, you know. Problem solved. Got to be right.
Right.
This is going to fix it.
It's still not read, is it?
Lost. That was the IRS's explanation for why they did not reverse it at that stage in the game. So then he gets a statutory notice of deficiency. Okay. And this is the document that, you know, every time I harp on this to our listeners, if you get a statutory notice of deficiency and in the upper right hand corner of that letter, it says your last day to petition the tax court is 90 days from the date of that letter.
Right.
That is the end all be all say all. You must, and I repeat must, file an action with the tax court, or you forever lose that right.
And he failed to
do it. So guess what? He did. He did a good job. He contacted, he actually contacted Senator Cory Booker's office. He was up in New Jersey. And he said, look, I got this problem. And I will say that our senators here in North Carolina, same thing. They got a taxpayer person in their office and they directed them to the taxpayer advocate office, who is the branch of the government that's affiliated. It has people in it. And then they can actually go to bat for you.
Okay.
And so, you know, basically this is, and one of the reasons they get involved is when you just have a complete failure, a complete lack of, you know, you can't get that person with the service to be able to fix an easy, simple issue. So the taxpayer advocate office got involved and finally we got to a person, like you said, Ben, and the matter was quote unquote resolved.
All right.
In the taxpayer's favor. And they said, yeah, okay, we're going to give you, and they actually did this. They sent him a letter reversing the position and issued a no change certification to his 2014 tax return and was accepted as filed. And basically just said there is no deficiency here.
Okay.
But that's
I have a feeling we're not at the end of the story.
That's not good enough for Mr. Davis, though. That's not good enough for Mr. Davis. He says, I should have never had to file that petition with the tax court. This is ridiculous. I sent you my information with my tax return. I then get the computer generated audit notice. I resend you the same information, which would have said non-taxable. Then you send me a statutory notice of deficiency. And the only way that I can respond to that is file a petition with the tax court, which, oh, by the way, costs money to file it.
Right.
So guess what he does, Ben?
He sues?
He files a motion for his costs. And he says, look, I want you to, you deserve to pay my costs in this matter. And I'm out of pocket $154.98.
I agree.
And you should pay him service because this is your mess up.
Yeah.
But he didn't stop there. He says, but not only that, I want to protect the next guy. He said, and so I want this court to adopt a rule that would be applied basically when two or more federal agencies provide conflicting information to a taxpayer. So here we got Social Security Administration
and Labor.
Department of Labor. So he's got that. That the taxpayer discloses the conflict on his or her return and they provide documentation supporting their position. And the taxpayer continues to work with the service. That they will not issue a notice of deficiency.
Right.
They will continue to work with the taxpayer to resolve the matter and not put you in that box of having to file with the tax court.
Right.
So that's what he wanted. That's what the relief he was seeking was granted.
Okay. Well,
now, what do you think, Vin? What do you think on the cost side? The $154.98.
I think he gets that.
He gets it. Ding, ding, ding. You're correct.
Okay. Now, on the other, it's not their purview.
There you go. You're 100% correct. So he gets his cost back.
However, it is the senator's purview.
That's right. It is the senator. It's the Congress purview. Yeah. So this is kind of the last lesson of this case, which is he was wholly successful. He got the deficiency waived. He got his costs back to him. He was made whole again, other than time, effort, and frustration, I guess I should say. But he asked for this rule, and the tax court is one of limited jurisdiction, you know. But I tell you what, I do give it up to Mr. Davis for trying.
Yeah.
You know, he's trying to protect the next guy, because here he is. He ends up in a situation where his only avenue was to fight this in tax court. And he felt like, why am I here? And why did I have to do this? And he wanted them to adopt a rule that unfortunately they just didn't have the power to adopt.
Right. But I do think, though, that his case hopefully could be something that will catch the eye of the various folks in Congress that do have that power.
That's right.
I mean, because that is one thing. And the other part was he supposed to get workman's comp? I mean, why was he even in that?
Well, I think that probably he got workman's comp later, but just didn't get it in 2014.
Okay.
is what it sounds like from the case. Again, just reading between the tea leaves.
All right, so he was supposed to get it, but not in that year.
Didn't get it in 14.
Yeah. All right. Again, but he does make a good point about this conflicting information, because you can think about any number of agencies that are going to have that.
Yeah, correct. Kind
of issue. So that they need to have a way to resolve that internally before it gets to you.
Yeah, and it's a prime example, this whole thing, about how the labyrinth that is the Internal Revenue Service can literally eat people alive.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, you know, he had a fantastic, if he came to me with this case, I'd be like, this is a no-brainer. We're going to win this all day long.
Other lesson, he should have.
Yeah.
because you can get on the phone. Well, he can too. It takes a little longer perhaps, but you can get on the phone and actually probably have that resolved the first time.
Yeah, get on the taxpayer priority service.
Right.
You know, practitioners are allowed to do that and try to resolve matters for taxpayers that way, and it may have been very helpful in this regard.
And but it would have cost him.
Yeah.
Still.
That's true.
But again, I think, God bless him, I think he recovering his costs is a lesson for a lot of people there too, just on that part. It's Coastal Daybreak here on the Talk Station. You want to find out more, go to HarvellandCollins.com and AFoster@HarvellandCollins.com.